Right. The scripture is taken from Philippians chapter 1, from 1 to 11, on page 1178. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and prayer, the title on this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you, all of you, with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Thanks, Michael, for reading that passage from Philippians chapter 1. Last Sunday was the Vision Sunday service. The church was introduced with the theme of the year 2019 from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The strap line is pressing on. The words pressing on suggest that it is not happening in a comfortable or a freedom atmosphere. Somewhere we are bound, and in the midst, we are striving towards, taking efforts, moving forward for a greater purpose. That is nothing but to win the prize for which God has called us. Based on this theme, we, the church, will be meditating on the Epistle of Philippians, unfolding it into different sermon topics on every Sunday services. This morning, we are going to study about living in partnership, which has been drawn from the introductory chapter from Philippians chapter 1, which we heard now. Living in partnership is essential, and it is one of the ways of moving forward to win the goal. Paul, the author of this epistle, has mentioned the word partnership based on this context. When we read verses 4 and 5, it says that in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The original Greek word for the partnership is koinonia, which means a genuine, heartfelt, almost marital partnership. So we are not talking here about a casual, contrived state of a family or a pragmatic partnership. It is about our heart and lives woven together. When we are taking vows in our weddings, some of you might be remembering that, it says that I have chosen a very simple format here. For example, in my case, I have said, I, Amuta, take you, Joni, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, and here too I pledge you my faithfulness. Whatever happens, I promise that I live in partnership with you till death separates us. I have taken again today. So I feel like living in partnership with Christ, that means living in partnership with the church, living in partnership with our fellow believers, comes under this marital state of partnership. So I would like to encourage you now, if you are able, can you please stand and hold the person next to you? We are going to say this vow, mentioning that we belong to the church. We are having a vow saying now, covenantly, I am building my relationship with you, church. It is not about ashes building, it is about the people with us. We are going to say together, yes, I am with you. Shall we say that together? If you can, you can hold the person next to you, you can make a chain like that and put your name in the first blank, and then I put ADBC, but it represents the people in the church. Shall we say that together? I, Amuta, take you, church, to be my church, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, sickness or in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And here too, I pledge you my faithfulness. Whatever happens, I promise that I live in partnership with you till death separates us. Amen. Please be seated. So we have taken the vow now in his sanctuary, in his presence. Here, Paul, the epistle writer, he says that his heart is filled with rejoice since the Philippian believers are keeping this kind of partnership with Christ. He says that his heart is filled with joy. So the partnership in Christ firstly brings joy. And he says that in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Hope some of you might have experienced in a similar way. One evening, we as a family were returning to our home in our car from our friend's house in Brentwood. Whoever has traveled this Romford Road might be identifying a big Tesco on your left side just before the Gallows Corner shopping mall. Yeah. So when we were on the first lane, second lane, on the main lane towards Ganshill, there was a big truck coming from the side road of the Tesco, and it was trying to join in the main road where we are already on the second lane. The truck was joining. Joni was in the driving seat. I was on the passenger seat. And I can realize the truck is traveling parallel to us in the second lane. And I sensed someone in the truck was waving their hands and wanted to say something to me, something to us. I first really ignored that, because you know these days people are showing all kinds of gestures, so it is better to avoid. So I was avoiding for a couple of seconds, but I felt like the person on the driver's seat in the truck was trying to say something. He was keep on waving his hands and was doing something. So I turned towards the truck and I saw what it was doing there. I was really surprised. The truck driver was holding a black book in his hand and he was waving to me, saying that, "Hey, I am one of you." I was thinking, I was giving a closer look at the book. What it is? It's a Bible. He was having Bible in his hands. His face was filled with joy. And I could see a burst of delight coming from his face. And he was saying that, "I belong to the one to whom you belong." And he was waving his hands with full of joy and happiness. My heart filled with joy. And I said, "Good." I can't do anything more. So I said, "Very good." And then we moved on. In a few seconds, you know that there was a roundabout and the truck took the first exit and it went on and we were coming towards home. But that incident kept lingering in my heart and I still feel joy whenever I think about that incident. In that short journey, how the truck driver and myself shared our joy that we are in partnership with Christ. You might be wondering now, how come the truck driver knows that you are Christians? Yeah? Anyone? Yeah. Because there is a sticker at the back of our car saying that, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." So he has seen that and he was waving his hands, "I belong to you and we are all Christians." That is the joy. That is the joy Paul is talking here about. Paul is sharing that joy with the Philippian believers once he realized that Philippian believers are keeping that kind of partnership with Christ. And he finds one among them. And he is saying that, "In all my prayers, whenever I think of you, I pray for you." And he kept going on in this short 11 verses. He has repeated 3 times about his love, joy, and relationship and partnership with the Philippian believers. He says, "It is the right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart." He keeps going and he says that God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. In all this joy-filled love, a cord is connecting us all, which reflects our individual partnership with Christ. Christ is the one who is connecting us all together. And through Christ, we all become adopted children of God and we share our fellow joy with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And this bonding through Christ is stronger and superior than even our earthly family bonding. Now, a question might arise in your heart asking, okay, we are fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. We share that partnership. We are enjoying that joy together. What about other believers, non-Christians in the world, how they come into this fellowship? Of course, we need to welcome everyone into this fellowship with the same love because Christ died for everyone. And it is a commandment that we are asked to obey. But still, have you experienced, like when you are talking with the stranger, after a minute, you realize that the stranger is sharing the same faith of you, your heart gets bounces. Yes, he's a Christian. He is a believer. He is a brother of mine. He is my sister. That kind of bouncing, it happens. So joy is really an act of will. It is an attitude to embrace, not the feeling just goes and comes, not like happiness or sorrow. Joy is a choice. Let me paraphrase the poet's words. One ship sails in the east, one ship sails in the west, regardless of how the wind blows. It is the set of the sail, not the wind, that determines the way we go. We need to decide which way we are going to set our sail of life, towards joy or towards pessimism. How can we share this joy with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Something is wrong in the PowerPoint. There is only the second point. The partnership in Christ, whatever we share with joy, can be shared by two things: by prayer and by work. By prayer is missing there. By prayer. Paul says that whenever I remember you, I pray with thanks. Do we? Sometimes we might be traveling in the tube. Sometimes we might be washing our dishes at home. Sometimes we may be watching television. Immediately something come to our mind about our fellow brothers and sisters in ashes. Have you thought about it? Someone comes to your mind. What do we do at that time? Do we pray for them? It is better to pray, because God allows such thoughts in our mind to keep our fellowship stronger. So if someone comes to your mind when you are doing something, it is for no reason, it is for some purpose, so we can pray for them. And we have a prayer partner scheme, and new members, new people, new congregation, if you have not registered your name, please speak with Brian and Ruth, so you will be enrolled in the list and you will be given a person or a family to uphold them in your prayer. So particularly that month, you will be thinking more about them, more about what they are going through, and upholding them in prayers. Paul is giving that prayer whenever he is thinking about his fellow believers of Philippians, giving thanks for what they are doing. Second thing is by work. How can we work together? Paul is saying that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is confident that Jesus, who has started his work among the believers, will help them to carry on until the finishing line. And the same kind of encouragement we need to share with our fellow believers, with the brothers and sisters. When we hear about someone is going in their downtime, how many times have we encouraged them? How many times have we went out of our way helping them? Yes, prayer, we all can do prayer. And one more step, going closer, asking them, what can I do? You are not doing well. Can I do something for you? Can I help you for shopping? Can I pick up something, your children from school? Something like that. We can take one more effort. Encouragement, saying that, yes, we are all journeying together. We are all going towards the goal. We shall go walk together. That is the encouragement Paul is saying here. Secondly, partnership in Christ leads to maturity. Of course, it brings joy, and the maturity. Paul's joy with the Philippian believers resulted in him to instruct them how can they lead their matured way of life in Christ. How long we are going to spend our honeymoon period relishing about the joy that we belong to Christ. Along with joy, we need to work towards for the perfection. And it is a characteristic of Paul. He never gets satisfied anything short of any perfection. He wants to work towards perfection. And he is advising, he is instructing Philippian believers, and of course us today, how can we lead a life that will take us to the maturity? And verse 9 to 11, he says that, "Your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the full of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." One sign of the believer is to have love in Christ. And that love should overflow. And it should abound more and more. This abundance of love, which then leads us to a knowledge. Because the love alone cannot reach its fullness unless we know about whom we are loving, why we are loving. Knowledge is required. Knowledge is nothing about, in this case, knowing about Christ. And this knowledge can be acquired just by reading any theological book or any book about Jesus, or even reading, going through the Wikipedia in Google. You can get about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That is about the knowledge. But knowledge and love alone cannot take us to its fullness. We need something else. Paul is stating here that the depth of insight. It is nothing but understanding and wisdom. Yes, I know who Christ is. I have read about him. I have love for him. My love is overflowing. But the wisdom, how that Christ is relating to my life, how his death is impacting my life, what he is trying to do for me to have a part in his glory. That is the wisdom. Knowledge can be acquired from anywhere just by reading book. But that alone cannot take us to the fullness what Paul is mentioning here. We need to have the wisdom, the depth insight. We need to read through the Word of God. We need to share among the fellow believers. We need to come and have a discussion and having a thorough interaction with the people to know how we are related with Christ. Let me show you a simple example. Love is nothing but it is like a scaffold. You have lots of bricks and everything as a backbone, as a basic structure. But this alone cannot make a strong foundation. And we need to have a knowledge. Knowledge is nothing but we discussed acquiring from reading or studying. So that's nothing but a mortar or a glue that can seal within the gaps. Will that stand as a solid foundation? We need to have the wisdom. That makes a complete perfection. Love, knowledge, and wisdom. This solid foundation, once it has been built, whatever the attack that comes from the enemy, we can withstand. Because this package of love, knowledge, and wisdom help us to discern things that comes in our way. We know, and we discussed in the last Sunday, the discernment is very important in this contemporary world. Even among the Christians, into the churches, there may be many intruders coming with false doctrines, twisting the scripture. We need to have the discerning. So that comes from love, knowledge, and depth insight. And Paul is advising the Philippians to go into this maturity. Once we have reached this perfection of how to discern which to take in and which to leave, remind, then we are fully righteous people. That's what Philippians says about. We become fully righteous when we discern, when we are filled already with love, knowledge, and depth insight. Philippians, the book which we are going to meditate rest of the Sundays, it will be like doing a study here in the church and going back home and exercising that. Otherwise, we cannot reach its fullness. We'll be listening, but we need to put it in practice. You might be wondering how the wisdom can be operated. Ask, seek, and knock. The Lord will give you wisdom. The one who is sovereign, He never rebukes us, and He always ready to fill us with His wisdom. He is the ultimate source. So when we have love in Him, when we want to reach His fullness, what Paul is suggesting here, we need to ask, seek, and knock. Ask Him like, fill me with your wisdom, Lord. Depth of insight. I want to know more and more of you so that I can live in joy, and that joy can lead me to maturity. Let us pray.